We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Henley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Portland inbounds, game over, 124 to 108. And about midway through the first quarter, it became the C.J. McCollum show.
Be calm, you know, wait. If they do what they tell you to do, step off the court, you know. And I was doing some calls with my agents, with my family, and that's all. I don't need to think about New Orleans now. Until the last day, minute I'm wearing the Bulls jersey, I'm thinking about the Bulls' arrest. You know, it's something I cannot control.
Mully and Henley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Nico. Well, first you heard the Bulls, and the Bulls lost, and the Bulls lost big. And then you heard Nico. That was Nico after the morning shoot-around. That was before he was told, no need for you to attend the game.
I was not joking. I was very, very serious.
Enjoy the wine and cheese happy hour at the hotel.
Complimentary
happy hour. And go back and enjoy that. Whose fault is it that it didn't work out here for the Bulls? Is it on Nico? Is it on Tibbs? That was never going to work because of the type of player.
I think it was. It's a very good question. Whose fault was it? But I do think that Nico,
because all the promise in the world, right? I mean, he was sold as this, you know, a very important piece to a playoff team. That this was the wave of the NBA, and when he was finally NBA ready, you know, he was going to be a big part of this thing for years to come.
It's interesting because I think the answer to your question can be found in the fact that Nico worked out in the offseason, put on muscle, was able to play better defensively to start the year. And these are things that he needed to have done. He should have figured that out after 1 year in.
So that speaks to the player.
That speaks to the player. I don't think it was ever about Nico. I don't think it was the Nico show. So I do believe that he has culpability for some of it. I can't tell you that it's all on him. I just can't sit here and pretend like Nico is, you know, the only guy to blame. It's always two parties, but I don't have tons of sympathy for Nico because of the fact that he did not kind of fulfill what he needed to fulfill. And, you know, when Jimmy and D Wade were talking last year, didn't you feel they were talking about Nico?
Oh, absolutely. And you're right. You know, the fact that he was in a contract year as a restricted free agent, and all of a sudden he's going to reinvent his body and do things differently, and was, you know, trying to earn that starting spot, and arguably, I guess, did earn it before Bobby Portis sidelined him in that altercation. You know, the one thing you just said, I don't have much sympathy for him. He doesn't generate much of anything. I mean, and that speaks to his time here in Chicago, because you never really knew what to make of him. You were underwhelmed mostly, and then you were overwhelmed with a couple stretches he had there, and you thought, wow, where's that guy been? You know, is that the player that's really in there if you get the right circumstance and situation? And it just, for a guy to be around this long and for everyone to know his name, and he doesn't generate much emotion one way or the other, and I think that's as telling as anything.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Let's start the conversation with Joe. Joe is in Chicago. Joe, you're on with Mully and Hanley. Hi, man.
Hey, guys, I moved about a year ago for family reasons to New York City, and I just wanted to tell you, okay? You could keep New York. I want to just run this past everybody in Chicago. The food is horrendous. The city is the filthiest place I've ever seen in my life. I've seen dog waste. I've seen mucus in front of prominent restaurants sitting right in front of doors, and they don't even clean it up. This place, when they pick up the garbage here, guys, I want people to hear this. When they pick up the garbage here, if they drop something on the ground, they don't bend over and pick it up. They leave it on the ground. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. It's unbelievable. They're all scammers. I live in hell here.
Are you in Manhattan proper, or where are you, Joe? Where are you?
I'm in Staten Island, which is only about 25 minutes from Manhattan,
right,
but it's part of New York City.
Sure it is. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, the people are arrogant, they're clannish. If I come back to Chicago, I'm going to kiss the ground. Okay,
it'll be cleaner.
Oh my God! You got to see it. You have to experience by living here to understand what I'm saying. And I miss Chicago. And I'm going to tell you something. The weather isn't really better here either. Let me be honest with you.
Joe, I got on the Staten Island ferry once to go see the Statue of Liberty up close.
That's why you do it.
Well, I got right off because of some stuff you're talking about. I looked around. I was like, I don't want to be shoulder to shoulder with this group. I'll just watch.
So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to run that past the people in the city of Chicago. New York is not what everybody thinks it's supposed to be. It's actually a facade. That's all it is. And I hope Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl. That's all I could say. I'm sick of New England.
So you don't? You're a Philly fan?
No. I don't like either one of them.
You just don't like the Patriots, yeah.
Oh, okay. You just
we're only an hour from
more.
Philly. We're only about an hour from Philly, I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, that's the good thing about New York too. Is that you got the whole East Coast? You can go wherever you want to go.
I wouldn't drive an hour to Philly. You been to Philly, Joe?
I've been to Philly.
Save your time. Yeah.
I've been to Philly.
Yeah, help.
Philly's a miniature New York.
Yes, it is.
It's just as filthy, believe me.
Without the famous original Rays. Original famous Rays or whatever. You know,
all right, Joe. Well, we're not going anywhere. You can always come home, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. I'll call you back.
All right, thanks, Joe.
God bless you.
We're here if you want to vent. It's a town so nicely named it twice.
That's right. That's pretty funny.
New York.
I was talking to a friend of mine who went to Hong Kong. And didn't like it at all. And I'm like, really? Like, that sounds so exotic.
Yeah.
I really like to go to Hong Kong. And he said, picture New York, and it's twice as dirty. I'm like, wow.
And you know, they always,
I know what he's talking about.
You go to Toronto, they always say, well, it's a clean New York. I mean, so it's everything.
Oh, Toronto, you could eat off the streets.
Yeah.
Toronto's a beautiful Canadian city, and it's... My God, I had been to Toronto and I hadn't gone for a while, and then I went like a year ago, and it was like five times the size. It's just growing at a breakneck pace.
Yeah.
Toronto, big time, growing very – how big is Toronto? Can someone tell me the population of Toronto? Because I think it
– Canadian or U.S.?
Yeah, take 20% off.
2.8 million.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was bigger than that.
The proper or the city? I bet you it's 2.8 in the city, and then
I remember driving into Toronto, and our GPS was telling us collectors. They called like the lane where the cars were coming in collectors because you're picking up new cars. Apparently, it was just a massive traffic jam. It was like they did not have the collectors weren't getting the job.
All I know is we hated Buffalo enough that on an off day in a hockey season, we'd get in the car and drive 2.5 hours to Toronto.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I actually kind of like Buffalo. It's got a little South Side feel to it, and there's a couple of decent late night places we found. But I think the last time I went there, and I hate to say it, but maybe the last two times we stayed in Toronto and drove, you know, to
See,
the game. Because Toronto is a pretty fun town.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to do.
Even more fun, Vancouver.
Oh,
and
that,
also
well,
much more
but you
expensive.
Can't drive there, right? You can drive to Toronto.
No, but just, I mean, as far as, you know, cosmopolitan Canadian
technically,
cities.
You could drive there. There would be nothing stopping you. It would just take too long.
They do have roads.
Well, the Canadian Rockies would make it.
Vancouver is phenomenal. It's a beautiful city. It has a real international
flair to
it. You
better bring your money.
It's an expensive town. Yeah, but really a beautiful city. I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying. And you're not far from those ski resorts.
Oh, you look up and
Whistler.
See. Yeah, from downtown Vancouver, you just look up and see the mountains all lit up, the ski runs.
I don't ski, but I like to go to ski resorts in the summertime because, like, you usually have, like, bike riding stuff going on at these places. They'll have, like, cool things to try to attract people, and the prices are phenomenal. You get, like, a giant room and, you know, go ride a bike, go look at the beautiful views. It's not bad, man.
I remember when the Hawks played a playoff series against the Canucks, Daryl Sutter held the off-day press conference by the pool of the hotel.
See,
and it was like 75 degrees. Yeah, and there, you know what? Yeah. There were like six of us there because no one really cared about the Hawks back then.
Did he make any bold predictions?
Yeah, he had the soup and the sandwich. No, he's going to enjoy it. And not, no, I'm not talking.
Soupy and I just got a tear in my eye. How dare you bring it up?
Duncan Keith apparently left his goals there, too.
Does anyone care that Nico's on his way out? Is there any warm feeling for him? Dustin cares. He wants Nico to stick around.
I don't have warm feelings. I just think he'd be a really good piece to what they're trying to do over there.
Are there more Bulls fans that they're excited about Omer Asik coming back?
Career.
Are there more Bulls fans interested that Asik was coming back versus Nico leaving? Because there was a time there we were all upset that he was walking out the door for nothing.
Well, again, does Ron Adams come back? Do you repair all those relationships? Does Tom return? How does that work? Wasn't that Omer was ultimately the breakup of the Bulls? Gar traded him kind of underneath the, or they didn't sign him to a free agent deal. I'm sorry.
They said they were going to,
and then they didn't. And then Ron Adams said something about it. He made some snide remark to Gar, and then Gar insisted on getting rid of Ron Adams, and that ended the relationship with Tom, right? Yep. So, I mean, you can
6 degrees of Omer Asik.
There you go. So that's interesting. But Dustin, what were you saying? You say that you believe that he fits perfectly with the kind of scheme they're running?
Right. I mean, it's the 3-point run and gun, take it, jack it. And next year it's $12.5 million, and the guy is going to be fully engaged to get that big money contract, whether it's with the Bulls or somebody else.
But here's the you know, this is when we talk to KC about it. He always says that the problem comes in not next year, but the year after. Let's say Nico actually starts playing well and putting up numbers. How do you pay him? How do you fit him into your pay structure if you are giving Zach LaVine the money that he's got coming because he's going to be restricted coming up? Presumably you're going to pay Dunn long term, and Mark, at some point you got to start thinking about paying these guys. You got to start thinking about what's the money LeBron's going to demand or whomever they bring in as a free agent. There will be somebody, and when you start thinking about the future, he's going to not really be a part of it when this team is good again. So that's part of the thinking, is that you get a young piece.
What if he was playing like he had been playing for that 14-game stretch this year?
Yeah, but then
the majority of next year. So at this time, okay, in 2019, okay, you were now looking for that first-round draft pick, okay?
What happened to Nico the last 3 weeks? He reverted back to kind of their Nico, kind of quiet Nico, quiet 16 points that don't really matter.
Well, it's pouty Nico, I think, is what's been going on.
Right. He's on the verge of being traded. And, you know, I'd be very curious, do you blame Nico for this situation? Is it the Bulls' fault? Is it the way they handled? Does it go back to Bobby Portis? How do you? I mean, you effectively have a guy who says he wants out. I'll let you trade me anywhere. You come up with a place. He just wants out. Okay, we're going to send you here. Yeah, you know what? I want you to pick up the second year because you paid D Wade all that money for 2 years. Why can't you pay me? 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Artemi.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I thought our movement was pretty solid. It was good to see Zach getting a little bit of a rhythm. It looked like he's getting his legs back a little bit, and that's obviously a very positive sign for us. You know, we'll get those other guys back at some point, and it'd be fun, you know, to see this team when we're full strength.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. So I guess the question as we sit here and talk about Nico Mirotic and the fact that he's now benched effectively until the trade deadline, he's not going to play again for the Bulls if they have something to say about it, right? While we actively try to trade him, we don't want him getting hurt. I think that's the announcement. Here's the weird thing about it. Here's Nico. He gets punched in the face. He's broken his face. He's furious about it. The team, the players seem to back Bobby Portis. The team talks about how rough it is and how, you know, but we got to get him together. They talk to him. He's on the bike. He's got his back turned. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. Then he comes back and immediately they start having success. And all of a sudden it's a lot of fun. There's still no, you know, we're monitoring whether he and Bobby Portis high five or how they play together. They play well together. I don't know that all is forgiven by any stretch of the imagination, but the word is that Nico wants out, and he wants them to trade him, and they've signed him to a 2-year contract, effectively a 1-year deal with a team option, and Nico he's going to go. He wants out. They arrange a trade for him, and then he rejects the trade because he wants the second year of the contract. They gave him a no trade clause in the first year, and then the second year is up to the team. So he knows if he goes to New Orleans that they're not going to pick up the $12.5 million in the second year. So he says, you know what? Hey, I'll go, but I want you to pick up that money. And that throws a spanner in the works, and all of a sudden the trade is off. And now here we are trying to figure out what's going to happen. And I guess the kind of weird thing about it is Nico wants out. He's not going to stay here. He doesn't want to be here. But he also wants to get paid, and he wants to get that money, and he wants to have the second part of the deal. Now, you got D. Wade that wanted out of here, didn't fit what they were doing. They understood that. But he picked up the option on his contract.
It was his option.
It was his option.
Right.
And he gave him what? I mean, was it $7 million, $8 million? I don't know what it was that he gave up to get out.
Yeah,
they still gave him
about $18 million for him to walk.
Okay,
yeah.
So they still gave him $18 million. And so he gave back like $4 or $5 million, mm-hmm, by that standard. They still gave him the $18 million. Does that empower Nico to feel like he's got a certain amount of money coming to him too? That, you know, years of service, look what they did with Wade. Why can't they pay me off to leave?
But the difference is, and you just said it, that was D. Wade's. I mean, he had all the leverage. I'll stick around here and collect every check, and I'll be mentoring guys and, you know, be the guy that everyone comes to ask questions on occasion. But, you know, that it's, I mean, one, it's really not no trade. It's, if you pick up the option, you can send him word. If this is punitive, and it really is, because why do you have to send him back to the hotel? Right? I mean, why couldn't he just sit in street clothes?
Yeah, because you're telling him he's not a part of the team.
I mean, you could have let him dress and sit on the bench in his uniform and just not use him, right? And DNP coach's decision. But okay, he thinks we got all the time in the world till next Thursday. If push comes to shove, what's the NBA outpost? You pick up the option and just send him anywhere, like the worst team you can think of. Is that Brooklyn? Caller Joe would probably say yes, but
just because of the filth.
Yeah.
It might be the Knicks. Over those two teams, they're both pretty awful.
They need another bad contract from the Bulls.
312-644-6767. How about Joakim, huh?
Oh, boy.
Let's get to Teddy B. is in Hyde Park. Good morning, Teddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, I want to talk a little Nico Mirotić here and the Bulls. I put this squarely on Gar and Paxson. One, they were bidding against themselves, and they gave them the $12.5 million with the no-trade clause. All you had to do was not give him any contract and make him sign the qualifying offer, because at the end of the day, you were trying to rebuild and trying to tank and not win games.
Didn't they have to give him the contract because they had to hit the minimum on the salary cap or something?
Put it this way. You could have done what Philadelphia's done for years, which you don't do that, and then basically all you have to do is pay the difference. Because if you leave yourself way under the floor during the season,
you can get to it.
You can then absorb bad contracts and then pick up assets.
Right.
But essentially what they ended up doing, even if this New Orleans trade had gone through, basically in a draft this coming up year that's worse than what was a very good draft last year, you sold a second-round pick that was Jordan Bell for $3.5 million.
Yep.
So now you're going to move up, 15 spots, but pay $11 million for it, on top of giving 4 years and $32 million to Feliciano? I mean,
that's
another one.
You could have that cap space, and you can absorb bad contracts and pick up assets that way. And what you're doing now with Mirotić, they're finally doing what they should have done all year, which is sit them down, because every game they win, they're just degrading the first-round pick that they're getting.
Well, Teddy, rewind it, though. When they did give him effectively a one-year deal, since it was a team option on the second year, they probably thought that was gold, right? Because Nico was in the gym working out, doing things they asked him to do.
Yeah.
And he had earned the starting spot.
Right.
So if that incident doesn't happen, they probably think they have a starting player for $12.5 million who still is in the quote-unquote prime of his career.
Right.
Haven't seen the consistency out of the guy, so maybe now there is a wake-up call. And then, you know, if you get a second year at the same money in the NBA, they probably thought they were sitting on a pretty good asset. And then everything got derailed because you know, he gave him the ultimatum. I don't want to be here. It's Bobby Portis or me. Pick one. And obviously he has more trade value, such as it is, than Bobby Portis. But I mean, that incident, whether he was the aggressor or not, he ended up with the fractured face. That changed everything, changed the whole dynamic of Nico wanting to be here and their idea of what he was moving forward.
The Bulls continue to lose. They lost another game. Just in case you haven't checked it yet, Joe, the Bulls at 18-33 sit in fifth place for draft picks. If you look at the draft stuff, and it's a pretty tight race. The Bulls have they're 18-33, which has them a half game ahead of the Suns, 18-34. And I'm going in reverse order, so I'm talking about the bottom of the draft. The teams that are ahead of them for draft picks are the Kings and the Mavs are 16-34 and 16-36, respectively. The Magic are 15-35, and the Hawks are 15-36. So it's interesting that they can get right back in the middle of this thing.
Another reason that you have to trade Nico, right?
Another reason maybe you sit him down while you got, you know, done out and Markkanen dealing with his stuff.
Yeah, so according to all the reports, Pax is holding out. We want that first-round pick. We're not doing this unless we get a first-round pick. Well, what if you don't get it next Thursday?
Well, he's made the decision to stay, so then he gets to stay.
But next, you know, come next Thursday, and it's about
the price goes down. Then why would anyone deal with him now? What is
he? Well, that's it. You're playing poker right now, effectively, right? Okay, you didn't get your first round pick. We got a second round pick for you. What do you think about that?
Now the fun begins.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We're going to head down to the Super Bowl. We're going to talk to Jamal Lewis, Super Bowl winning running back with the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll get his opinion on what's going on. We haven't talked much about the running games with these teams. We should get into that a little bit with him. And I don't know how you feel about it, but our buddy David Hall checks in today writing about how, you know, we ought to stop and appreciate Brady's Patriots in the same way we did Jordan's Bulls. And, you know, it's interesting. There's a quote here that they pull out from Robert Kraft saying jealousy is an incurable disease. So that's what it is. Is it jealousy? Is it jealousy that people have a problem with the Patriots for, or is it gamesmanship or sportsmanship? Is it really jealousy?
Or how they've done it?
Is it the Tuck rule and deflate gate and, you know, extra guys on the field? And I mean, is it the stretching of the rules, the spy gate stuff?
Yep.
What is it, right? I mean, is that what it is? Did they win their first Super Bowl legitimately? Did they have videotape of practice? Did they commit pass interference on every play against the greatest show on turf? We'll run some of these questions by Jamal Lewis next. Molly and Hanley on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brian Billick looking to his offense to put a nail in the coffin right here from the 3-yard line. Lewis and Gash in the backfield. Dilfer's pitch to Lewis. Left side, going for the end zone. Lost the football. No, the official says touchdown.
Well, the Giants
did get the challenge in before the kick.
The Giants are challenging the call on the field of a touchdown. After reviewing the play, the call stands as made on the field. Touchdown.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. How about that? Let's get to the man himself. Jamal Lewis joins us. Good morning, Jamal. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All is well.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, we're looking at this Super Bowl, and we've been talking about everything, but maybe what matters most, which is how you employ your particular weapons. And seemingly at the running back position, it's a very interesting battle. And, you know, I don't know quite how to read it. We don't believe either of these teams can overwhelm you with the running game, but they've both managed to do it throughout the course of the season.
Well, I think, you know, being able to have an effective passing game, which both of them have, they do have threats down the field. And anytime you got a threat down the field, you can always, you know, establish some kind of run threat because you can't stack the box with eight men, and you got to leave it open a little bit, and you got more of a balanced attack. And that's kind of what offenses really want to produce these days, is a balanced attack so they can, you know, so they can have a wide range of plays to choose from. But I think that Philadelphia probably got the upper hand in the run game here, you know, with the experience that they have in a Giant.
And when you hear the guys on Philly talk, Jamal, they're all saying the right things. Or I guess when you have confidence, do you have to necessarily say you have confidence? Because they're talking about swag, and the coach has swag, and we have swag because the coach has swag, and you're wearing wrestling masks and dog masks while they're saying it. But are they trying to talk themselves into something maybe as well?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, when you got a good defense like that and you have a good run game and you're in the dance, you know, and you made it to the big game and you got momentum on your side, I think that, you know, you can walk with a little swag. And I think that's how we rolled in Baltimore when we came in the Super Bowl 35. You know, we kind of knew that, hey, look, we had the upper hand. So, you know, we didn't have to play not to get beat, you know, and the weight wasn't really on our shoulders, you know, so we just had to go in and play our game. I think that's what, you know, the Eagles are doing.
You know, it's interesting because I think when I look at the way you guys won, you know, obviously the great defense has been compared to the 85 Bears. And, you know, there are some who feel it was better than the Bears. No one in Chicago, I might add, Jamal. But it's considered one of the great defenses of all time. And you were the workhorse running back that made that defense go. And you know, has the game changed in terms of a defense winning a championship? Is that accurate, or do you think that the, you know, a lot of the rules have changed and the passing game has obviously taken over? What's your thought on the evolution of the game and the way these teams are?
I think defenses still will win championships. Yeah. You know, you have to keep your opponent, you know, to a lower number. And I think that, you know, when you got two great teams in a championship game, I think you know that you can score points. But the biggest thing is who can get a stop. And that's what it boils down to. And I think you have to have defense that can pressure that quarterback, that can get back there to him. And you know, you have to have some corners out there that can play on the island, too, that can create that one-on-one matchup and give your guys time to, you know, give that D-line time to get back there to the quarterback. But I think the evolution of the game, you know, I don't think it's really changed from a defense standpoint. I think the offensive standpoint, yes, it has, just due to, you know, it's about putting up more points on the board and having more explosive offense. But I think it still stands, man. Defense wins championships, and that's why I think the Eagles got the upper hand in this.
Well, now that you believe the Eagles have the upper hand, my question's going to be kind of odd. But when you see, are we witnessing the last dynasty? You know, assuming that even just being here, but if they get that next Lombardi Trophy, will we ever see a coach quarterback tandem or organization run the table like the Patriots have been doing on a regular basis?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you'll ever see that again. It's just amazing that, you know, Belichick can, you know, have the upper hand on the rest of the coaches and the rest of the team in this league, you know, for so many years. And it's all about, you know, he got players, man, that buy in to his system. And he got a great quarterback that could deliver the mail. You know, he calls the plays, he puts together the schemes, and he got guys that can go out there and make things happen. So I don't think you'll ever find another, you know, quarterback coach tandem like this for a long, long time. But they've been making it happen. You know, they've been making it happen for this long, and I think, you know, they have a shot because they're in it. But I just think that, you know, you'll never see this again, because I don't think that you have an organization like, you know, the Crafts that's going to, you know, hold on to that duo for so long and have a quarterback that can produce at a high level for so long and stay healthy. You know, that's been the key. And I think that just goes to, you know, you got to applaud, you know, Belichick for everything that he's been doing and how consistent he's been doing it.
You know, it's interesting because I think that what the Patriots have done, and I know Belichick has said in the past that running attempts are as important as anything. It has nothing to do with how many yards you get. It's just the attempts will keep a team off balance. But what they've done is use their passing, their running game as a passing game. They have really spread the field and used their running backs to catch the football. And in fact, I believe they have more receptions by running backs, 126 for almost 1,000 yards, than any team in the league this season. So that would be one way to deal with that great Eagles defense if you can, you know, spread them out a little bit and use those running backs in the passing game as the Patriots have.
Yeah, I think that that's true. I think that's a way to keep defenses off balance. You know, you throw your screens and this and another try to slow down the pass rush. And that's brilliant, you know, on Belichick's side or any offensive coordinator's side, to get your playmakers the ball. And, you know, if it's a guy in the backfield, how do you get him the ball without just handing it off? We always used to say, hey, throwing a little flare pass or throwing a check down, that's just like having a 5 to 7 yard run. You know, so it's how do you get the ball into your ball carrier's hands. And I think that the Eagles, they're not going to play into that card, and they're going to just pin their ears back and get back there and try to hit Brady every chance they can get.
Is Fletcher Cox the best defensive player in the league?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think so. I just think, you know, just hey, when you got a player like that, and even when we was playing, you know, in the Super Bowl that year, we had that run. When you know you got a dynamic player that can make plays, you know, all over the field, hey, you got to ride it. And like I said, momentum is, I think, their friend. And I think that they, I don't know, I think they're going to go ahead and make it happen.
You know, a lot of people say it's not how you start a game, it's how you finish a game. And, you know, Bill Belichick a week ago was to, you know, not ask questions so much as told that they were shut out in all the previous Super Bowls. The Patriots hadn't scored a point. But obviously we know all the great comebacks that Tom Brady has engineered. Is that a trend that could be bothersome for the Patriots? Or when you have Tom Brady in the fourth quarter, you have a shot no matter?
Yeah, I think it's scary. They do have a shot no matter. You know why? I think the reason why is because they have a coaching staff and a group that knows how to make adjustments. And when we was on our Super Bowl run, if it were the Ravens, one thing that we knew how to do was make adjustments. So at halftime, not even at halftime, you know, even just certain things that could be going wrong that we see that wasn't in the scouting plan that they threw a mix up on, we go in and adjust it and make adjustments to it, and we counteract it, you know? And I think that's one of the things that the New England Patriots does well, and that's what's so scary. If a team goes in and they're up at halftime or up at a certain point, that Belichick and that staff, they know how to go in and make those adjustments and counter whatever their opposition is actually doing. And that's a dangerous that's dangerous for any team. And that's why you cannot make mistakes against the Patriots, and you have to play them for a full 60 minutes.
Tell us, Jamal, about what you're doing now. You're working in the trade show business with Metro Exhibits, is that right?
Yeah, basically, you know, we have an exhibit company where we travel around the country, and we, you know, any companies that are going to trade shows, we actually go in and design the booths, set the booths up. It's amazing. It's an amazing industry, you know, to go into some of these trade shows and see some 80 by 100 booths, and they have upper floors on them and things of that nature. And it's a pretty cool industry. You know, every company has to go to trade shows to expose their product, and that's what we do. We have 3 locations around the country, in Las Vegas, New Jersey, and Orlando. And, you know, we have hundreds of clients, and that's our thing. MetroExhibits.com is the website. And if any company is going to a trade show, you know, they call on us to put on their exhibit.
Jamal, who's going to win the game?
I think the Eagles will take it. I think the Eagles will take it by 3.
Wow. You know what's funny? When you say that, in my mind, you could play for the Eagles better than you could for the Patriots. As stupid as that sounds, do you disagree with that? I could see you being, you know, big bruising, run over
fly
people
Eagles
back.
Fly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Eagles is more my style. I don't think the Patriots style is mine. No. But yeah, I could see that.
All right, buddy. Thank you a ton. We really appreciate it.
All right, now have a good day.
You too, buddy. That's Jamal Lewis working with Metro Exhibits now. Hilarious. He don't you see him as LeGarrette Blount or Jay Ajayi?
Yeah, no doubt. Just muscling people.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. We're going to bring in Moose Johnston next. We'll find out how Moose breaks down the game, what he thinks of what's going to happen with the Patriots against the Eagles in Super Bowl 52 this Sunday. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.